Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for, God, a great service. And I pray as we look into your word, our hearts will be open. God, we will hear some things tonight that maybe will change us, God, and energize us. And God, help energize our church and the kingdom of God. We love you and we praise your name. Amen. Let's give the choir another hand for a great job. I think that was an energizing song, wasn't it? How many of you need a copy of the notes for tonight? Does anybody need some notes? Kenny and Justin and Clayton are getting those to you. It's great to see you tonight. Thank you for being here. I hope you've had a great week so far. Apparently not, but we'll try to make it better tonight. We'll try to have some fun. Do you want to have fun tonight? Yes. Well, good. Me too. The Holy Spirit, we are going to close out our study on the spiritual gifts tonight. I intended it to be 2 weeks, but you guys interrupted me so much the first week or two, we had to extend it to three. But there are studies where you can take spiritual gift class for 8 to 10 weeks, and it might be a good thing a year or two from now for us to do something like that, because it's really important to find your spiritual gift to understand it. But let's begin with this. The Holy Spirit lives in every... not a trick question. Squirrel, possum, or Christian? Christian. Good, 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 good. I guess good. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. You remember the word temple there meant the Holy of Holies. Your body, when you became a Christian, you received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in you just like the presence of God was in the Holy of Holies in the temple. God lives in you through this Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives every Christian at least one spiritual gift. At least one spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7 has been a verse we've looked at several times. A spiritual gift is given to the preachers and the good-looking, which that's obviously the same, and to the humble, right? A spiritual gift, read that out loud with me, is given to each so we can help each other. Other translations say for the benefit or for the good of others and the cause. So isn't this a great thing? When you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit right then. And, you know, maybe we need to start advertising that on Sunday morning, even tonight. Come give your life to Christ and you get the Holy Spirit right now. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But also, you don't only get forgiveness, you don't only get justified, made right with God, you don't only start the process of sanctification, becoming like Jesus, you get the assurance of God's always with you, but God gives you and me gifts, and I believe most of us have more than one, gives us spiritual gifts. Isn't that great? God is a giver. Are you a giver? You don't have to answer. We'll check your giving records next week and get back with you on that. But God is a giver. Now, the question we're trying to answer is, how do you know your spiritual gift or gifts? If you agree with this, raise your hand. There's a lot of confusion here. You think that's true? And do you, very few of you do. Then let's just go ahead and pray because we've... Would that be y'all's dream, like Sunday morning after the special service some Sunday, I got up and said, I just feel led by the Spirit to close in prayer. Justin, I hope not. Former employee Shipley has... I think that a lot of people don't ever really find their spiritual gifts. They don't ever plug them in. They don't ever use them. What a tragedy to stand before God someday. You know, there's the truth, you're going to be saved. You're going to be saved eternally. But there's an old saying, you know, to stand before God with a saved soul but a wasted life are wasted gifts. Not using your gifts. Not finding and using your gifts. So how do we know our gifts? A simple place, obviously, is examine the Scriptures. Now, 2 weeks ago, we spent basically the whole time, do you remember, going through the spiritual gifts and defining what they were. Now, I've listed these. We're not going to put these on the screen. What I would encourage you to do is to study these. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, the whole chapter is not... 1 Corinthians 12, is the whole chapter is about gifts. Romans 12, there is a gift list. Ephesians 4:11 and 1 Peter 4:11. If you're going to figure out what your spiritual gifts is, a good place to begin is the Bible, correct? It's a pretty good place to begin. But here's an interesting thing I didn't mention 2 weeks ago. Many scholars believe the biblical lists are not exhaustive. Now, I'm not saying I'm a scholar, but I agree with that. What they think and what I think is that the gifts listed in the New Testament are representative and they're very important, but it's not exhaustive. Let me give you some examples. In the spiritual gifts list in the New Testament, music, for instance, musical ability is never mentioned in these lists. Never, you notice that? It's never mentioned. But the Old Testament does talk about people gifted musically. And I believe musical ability certainly is and can be used mightily in God's church. Do you agree? Thus, it appears to be a gifting for the body of Christ. Does that make sense? And if we want to be legalistic and strict, we can say, well, music really doesn't have a big place because it's not a gift. Well, I disagree. I think you don't think it's a gift. Let's have a sing-off up here. Me and a bunch of you are going to be disqualified quickly, correct? Man, y'all are brutal tonight. Turn to Malachi 3 and we will begin the tithing and hell sermon that I've been waiting to preach to you all for a long time. Here's another thing. The ability to work with your hands and make things is not listed in the New Testament gift list. But again, in the Old Testament, it is certainly talked about people having the gift to make and create things. How many of you do not need to be near a saw or something like that? When I worked construction, I was a cleanup guy. If you don't know what that means, it means you're a non-skilled laborer. You're at the bottom of the totem pole. You clean up after the carpenters and the bricklayers. And I think, again, we're going to talk about a lot of these things you certainly work to develop and get better at, for sure. But, man, some people just have a knack to create things, don't they? And to fix things. Don't you hate that person that can just fix things like that? I don't hate them. I love them. I'm envious of their gifting. In our previous church, where Cindy and Alicia and I were, we had a really good friend named Tim Barton. And Tim was a carpenter and a contractor. And he told me he went to college on a rodeo scholarship. This is Texas. And that when he got to college, he had never done any kind of construction or anything. And he went out and started helping people. And he just had an amazing ability as a carpenter. And then through the years, he became a contractor and a builder. And guess what? When our church got ready to build a family life center, I had an architect come in because Tim had said, we can do this for $350,000. The architect came in and literally laughed at me and said, you can't do this for under $1 million. And I just smiled and I wrote, we won't use this guy. We won't use this guy. We won't use this guy. Well, we moved to Ruston shortly after we voted to build that, but they built that new building for about $350,000, $400,000. You know why? Because Tim guided and directed that process and helped with a lot of other men and women who were gifted and saved the church probably $200,000 or $300,000. How many of you agree that's a gift that can benefit the body of Christ? Man, it absolutely can. So don't limit God's gifting on you and others simply to the New Testament list. Now, that's not at all meaning to disrespect the New Testament list. Very important, but don't limit it to that, or you cut out a lot of people and a lot of giftings. How many of you have ever seen anybody who can play the piano by ear? You don't even know what that means, right? It means they can just sit down and play. I'd never seen that until my first church, and this young man could sit down and play. And just, it was incredible. That's a gift. That you can't buy that. Amazon doesn't sell that. You cannot buy that. To know your gifts, examine the scriptures, just what we said. You look at the gift list. What are your gifts among the list? Here's the second thing. Man, this is a cool thing. Rick Warren developed this. Think about your shape. Now, this is not your physical shape. You look like a pear or a tomato. That's not what we're talking about tonight. Can I get some laughter from some brothers and sisters? Pear-shaped, tomato-shaped. It's not good, is it? You want to be a carrot, right? Your spiritual shape. Here's the acronym. S, your spiritual gift. How does God want to use me? What is my spiritual gift? Well, we'll start with the spiritual gifts. You look at the gift list. Number two, your heart. This acronym shape, your heart. What are you passionate about? What fires you up? Russ, I bet you're passionate about music, aren't you? Found your gift, you have. What fires you up? Now, every Christian ought to be fired up about loving God, loving people, and winning people to Christ, and helping people grow up in Christ. Every Christian fired up about winning and growing into Christ-likeness and helping others. But do you love kids? Do you love music? Do you love senior adults? Some of you better. You're married to them. Do you love youth? Or would you rather see youth at a great distance? Do you love cooking? Do you have a special passion for prayer? Where's your heart and your passion? Am I helping you? This is important. Your spiritual gift is going to be tied into your passions. What in the church excites you? This is not meant to be harsh, but it's true. If nothing does, you're either lost or you're away from Christ. If you look at your church and serving and finding a place to plug in and to help and nothing does it for you, the Spirit of God is probably not in you. Or if he is, he's in the big toe quenched. Because something ought to excite you. Here's A, your aptitudes. What can you do? Can you cook? Can you sing? Can you play an instrument? Well, those are pretty cut and dry there. We can figure that out quick, even though you can develop some of that. Can you smile and shake hands? I heard a great story of a kid who tried to out for the musical and didn't make the musical, and parents thought he was devastated, but they noticed during the musical, he was on the second row clapping and cheering, and they said, well, you seem to be excited. He goes, man, I found my gift. They sing and I clap and cheer. That's good, isn't it? Some of us don't need to be near a microphone, but we can clap and cheer. Do you have specialized training or a degree in something? You good with numbers? You good with fixing things? Your personality. Now, don't be limited by this, but who you are, your personality. Again, I think your personality is certainly something that can be developed and should be ongoingly being developed. You're just not a rude person. You may be a rude person, but you shouldn't be a rude person. That's a personality thing that can and needs to be adjusted for sure. E is your experiences. What's your education, your background? I love this, and this is certainly not original with me. God wastes nothing from your experiences, your training, even your major failures, and they can be used hugely for the Lord. Think about your shape. Here's another question. What is natural and feels right for you? Think about what seems to be your natural abilities. What do you do that you know you can do that'll bless your church and the kingdom of God? Your natural abilities. Here's a third thing, and or on the next page, or next page of my notes, maybe not yours. What do you enjoy? What do you enjoy? How many of you think that if you're using your gifts, you will enjoy it? I mean, it's not like you're on a constant floating cloud, but you have found where you belong. Now, be wise here. I enjoy sitting on the couch and eating Cheetos all day. But this is not a spiritual gift. It's a natural ability God has given me. What do you enjoy doing that can help the kingdom of God and bless other people? Here's an important note. When you get into using your gift, it feels good and it feels right. I'm going to embarrass Penny, Russ, but when I watch Penny sing, she's in her gift zone. She's fired up. She's excited. She doesn't look like she just ate some prunes. She's excited. It feels good. You are in your zone. You are in your sweet spot when you're in your gifting. Now, here's something important. This does not mean that exercising and using your gifts is easy or without work. I think that's a myth that people say, well, if I'm using my gifts, I just show up and I can just wing it. Or that's, nothing could be farther from the truth. I hope I have the gift of preaching. If I don't, tell me on Sunday I'll surrender to preach and maybe I'll get it. Don't have the gift of comedy tonight. But I love to study and I love the preparation. I love the sermon delivery. I feel like I'm in my zone, but I have to work very hard to accomplish that. Does that make sense? When the band and the choir lead, they aren't getting up 5 minutes beforehand and going, what do you want to sing tonight? Thank God. I've been in those churches and it's brutal. And by the way, you're singing the same thing a whole lot. I mean, it's hours of prep and work and planning and praying and practicing. Right, Justin? So your gift doesn't mean that you can just lazily do it. It means it's natural. It's in your sweet spot. Here's another question. What do other people see in you? Listen to people who love you and truly want your best. Some people, God forbid, even in the church, are not going to give you the best advice. They're jealous of you. They're small-minded people. People who love you and want what's best for you. Ask them, what do you see? What do you see my gifts are? Listen to people who will be honest with you. Uh-oh. There was a famous missionary doctor who wanted to be a preacher, and after hearing him preach, an older man who loved him dearly said, Albert, I think God has a calling on your life for the mission field, but have you ever thought about going to medical school? You don't need to be preaching every week. Well, Dr. Albert Schweitzer was a brilliant medical doctor. Listen to people. Listen to folks who observe you and know you, know how you do things. George Truett was a famous pastor years ago and pastored First Baptist Dallas for about 50 years. His call to preach was pretty interesting. He said he never really felt the call to preach. He was at a small little church as a young man, and they asked him to preach because they didn't have a preacher. He did it a couple of weeks, and they voted to hire him. And he said, it was them who recognized my gifting and set me in place. So listen to other people. examine how you can best help your church. How can you make a difference? God wants to use you. The coolest thing about God is that there's seasons that are slower in our lives spiritually, but God doesn't have a lot of bench players. If you're on the bench, it's a penalty timeout that you may need. But isn't it cool to think God wants you in the game? Isn't that cool? God wants you on the court. God wants you in competition. Sometimes you just gotta jump out there and start serving. Try the choir. Ask Justin if you can interview to be on the praise team. The interview on the praise team means he's going to make you sing something. And Justin's real sweet, but if he says, I think you'd make a good greeter, just take the hint. Right? Just try something. Don't stay on the bench. Be a greeter. Work with kids. Go try to work with the youth. Or in the nursery. You might do some of those things for two times and say, God is definitely calling me somewhere else. That's okay. Grab a broom and help out. Make visits. Fill in and teach if you are asked to. See how things go with this. Pray. Isn't that a novel idea? Ask God to show you your gifting. Ask God to give you opportunities to use them. This is a prayer God will answer. This is a prayer God will answer. Start praying tonight. God, show me what my gift or my gifts are. God, help me to use them. Let your ministers help you. Man, we would love to help you. Listen, we need all hands on deck. We're at a wonderful place where our people are outgrowing our ministers and our money. You know what that means? We need more of you to help, right? You want that, though. You don't want to have 200 people and 15 ministers. Or you don't want to say, man, we just got so much money, we don't know what to do with it. You want to be pushing those envelopes, but as the church grows, you got to have more help. That help is out here. And lastly on this, just finally, use your gifts. Use your gifts. You do not retire your gifts. At different times, you may use them differently, but as long as you physically and mentally can, you use your gifts. The role may be different. The place may be different. But God didn't give you a gift to sit on it, did he? Did he? No. I had to throw this in. Griping, negativity, criticism, second guessing, and complaining are not spiritual gifts. They are sinful behaviors that hurt the body. Would y'all agree with that? Have you ever known anybody that had the gift of criticism? I have. Guys, a lot of churches are operating without a full functioning body. You're a part of the body. What are you doing? Oh, they don't need me. I'm just the big toe. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, I'm just an ear. I don't know about you. I want both of mine. Man, you matter. Use your gifts within the context of your church, under the leadership of your leaders and your church body. Man, use your gifts. Use your gifts. We all exercise our gifts under God, under our leaders, and under our church body. I always remind my ministers who are servant leaders that they're under me, they're under a supervisor. We're all under Jesus, and we're all under the church. We have a weird job. We lead the church, but we serve the church, and we're under the church. I don't exercise my gifts independently of the authority of the church. None of us do. You're not, we're not supposed to. But beautifully, we do it under the authority that God's given us and under his church and under him. But I just want to, again, close by saying this. Find and use your gifts. This will bless you, God's name, your church, the church, and other people. Find and use your gifts. Probably one of the reasons that a number of people aren't happy, aren't satisfied in churches, is they haven't learned how to use those. Man, I want to challenge you to do it. This was a fictional story, but it makes a good point of a king hundreds of years ago that had a beautiful face, and he had beautiful robes and gold and jewelry, and he liked to go to the second floor of his palace and look into a mirror and admire all the things he had and how he looked and all these blessings. And finally, some of his servants one day removed the mirror and put a window there. So he goes one day to look at himself in the mirror. Instead of admiring all of his gifts and all of his attributes, he looked and he saw the needs of the people. And it broke his heart because he realized he had the gifts and the abilities to help the people. And the story goes from that point on, the king quit looking in the mirror and he started looking out the window. And he got out of the palace and he used his gifts, his abilities, and his resources to bless and to help. That's what God's given you your gifts for. I don't know about you, but I find it so fascinating, so wonderful that God would gift us with something to make a difference for him. What a beautiful thing. I want to ask you to pray with me. Jesus, thank you for saving us when we call on you to save us, for forgiving us and giving us a new life, an eternal life. And God, thank you for giving us a gift, giving us gifts that you want to use us, Lord. Thank you for that. And I pray for everyone here. God, those who are watching online, help us to passionately pursue you, to find out what you've put us here on this earth for, and to get after it and to use our gifts. And it's in your name I pray, Jesus.